Well, it's good to see each one here today. I'll write one word on the board. The word I wrote is nuance. You want to know what nuance means? It's just by the way we pronounce it, I would say it probably come from another language. Probably came from French. I don't know for sure, but that's my supposition. It means a very slight difference in meaning or sound or color or someone's feelings that's not usually very obvious. Small details. Thought I was going to have a different message for today, but it seemed like the Lord's inspired me with this, so I'm going to do my best to share it with you today. Friday was the 13th, and there's something about our culture, been going on for quite a while, that seems to ascribe a level of suspicion to Friday the 13th. Like that's a time when all bad things line up to happen to you or something. It's when your dog gets sick and your car breaks down and all of those kind of things. People like to say, well, it's because it's Friday the 13th. I was listening, not intentionally necessarily, but I'd turned the radio on, or the radio was on a customer's vehicle that I got into Friday. And there was people talking about their suspicions and their things that was, I don't know, people that were paranoid about various things happening or occurring in their life. And so I was thought about that a little bit and have met those people that if one of them that's always stood out to me, and I don't mean to be offensive to anybody here this morning, if you have a few peculiarities, it's a nuance. But I remember one time somebody, I needed to borrow a pocket knife to cut package open or something, and somebody said, here, I've got one. And they pulled it out of their pocket, and they opened the pocket knife and handed it to me, and I opened the package, and when I was finished, I closed it up and was going to hand it back to them, and they said, oh, no, open that knife back up. Don't hand it to me closed up when I handed it to you open. And it was like, okay, I don't understand. And some those of you that's met that probably say, oh, yeah, I've met people like that before. And people, if you've never heard of that, it's like, huh? It's a nuance, okay? It's this little peculiarity, little detail. One person that has some kind of apprehension about a pocket knife has to be handed back and forth if it's borrowed exactly the way he handed it to him. So just thought I would share that to try to get us thinking along the same line. And I want us to realize that ultimately whatever I say this morning is not nearly as important is what the Scripture says. What the Scripture says is what's going to make the difference in our lives. I could be ever so inspirational and ever so uninspirational, boring, or whatever you want to label it in what I have to say this morning, but ultimately it's the Scripture and the Spirit of the Lord that needs to be able to witness to our hearts in a service like this. I was thinking about Christians are individuals in this world. Christians are individuals in this world that make up a body of people or humanity that adhere to nuances that non-Christians do not. Would you agree with me? Christians, they're individuals that make up a body or a group of people that adhere to nuances that those that are non-Christians, as a general rule, don't do. It's kind of like the pocket knife. There's things, because we are endeavoring to be a Christian, we don't do it that way. We're not going to touch something. We're not going to behave that manner in that manner because we have a testimony of being a Christian. And somebody say, well, that's a nuance. It's just a little slight difference. It's a little detail. There's people that's very serious about their suspicious nuances. See a black cat cross the road, stop in their tracks and go around the block the other way. It's like, it's just a black cat to me. But some people, it's a serious thing. And I want us to consider this morning the peculiarities of being a Christian, the things that I wouldn't do, the things that I always do, the things that I feel constrained to do, and the things I feel constrained to not do. Other people might say, well, it's just like the pocket knife and the black cat. It's like the other little peculiarities that other people have. I have an ongoing dilemma in my occupation because I have people borrowing tools from my toolbox, and sometimes they put them back, but they don't lay them in the same position as I put them in. So when I go to look for it, it's lost in plain sight. And it can be distressful to me. I go to reach for my, whatever it is, my socket or my extension or my pair of pliers, and it's not where I would put it. So immediately, I think it's lost. And so I begin to ask those that could have possibly have borrowed it, do you have my screwdriver, or do you have my tape measure, or do you have something that is mine? It's a nuance of where I put that. But I want us to consider the things that we do differently. Is it just a nuance? Is it because we're just a Christian and because they're just a little bit different? What's behind it all? Becoming a Christian is not about meeting criteria of nuances. What is becoming a Christian really anyway? If I read in the New Testament where Christianity comes into this world, Christians means I'm like Christ. I believe with all of my heart that Christ came as the Son of God to this world, and He came to make it possible where I could be different than I was before. He came to make me, as the Scripture tells me, a new creature. A new creature. This past week we had an experience with an old creature. Came to our shop, and we didn't know it was there. The customer said they had removed the creature after it broke the fan blade. But apparently there was two of them, because when we took it apart, there was still one down in there. So the old creature was still riding around, and I'm going to tell you, didn't smell very good, didn't look very appetizing. I got a picture if you want to see it after service. But sometimes our lives are kind of like that, mangled up, smelly. This one had its teeth bared. You know, we come to the Lord like that, and the promise of the gospel message is that He can make us a new creature. A new creature. I don't know what this looked like before, but I didn't want to pet this creature. I didn't want to touch it. In fact, the person that was working on it came and borrowed my pliers to pick it up out of the truck and put it in a box. Didn't even want to use his own tools. I wished he hadn't have done that. But anyway, can you imagine something like that being a new creature that you would want to hold on your lap and listen to it purr up there next to your ear? It's hard to imagine, isn't it? But you know, our lives without Christ would be like that old creature, right? We hear testimonies like that on Wednesday night sometimes. People says, I'm so thankful for what the difference the Lord has made in my life. And the differences becomes nuances to some people. Well, you're a Christian, so you don't do this anymore. Or you don't do that anymore. Or you always do something here or there. Or somebody told me one time, everybody has a hobby. And they were talking about their hobbies of hunting or fishing or something like that. And this is a group of my coworkers. This has been a long time ago. And one of them spoke up and they said, Dan's hobby is to go to church. Well, that was his perspective and the little nuance of being a Christian. But is that really, is Christianity just an accumulation of nuances? Is it just something that's just a little different? And where do we get those anyway? Nuances include the vocabulary that I use or don't use. It includes how my outward appearance is. It includes business establishments or activities that I either patronize or don't. Our world today, it's pretty hard for us to fathom what it would be like just to turn away from food. Not because of what the food was, but what the food represented. But in the apostles' time, it was important to know if that food had been offered to an idol. And there are probably places in this world today that to eat of some food that in any other circumstance would be acceptable, to eat it in certain settings would be basically imbibing approval of worshiping some idol of some sort. Personal conduct, is that just a nuance? It's something that we adjust when we become a Christian. Just thinking about a scripture over here in Isaiah, I believe that this is where the nuances of Christianity comes from, is something that we get a picture of in our mind. I'd like to go to Isaiah, the 6th chapter, and read something here that Isaiah was a man that lived a long time ago, and he lived a long time when he was here. He prophesied and spoke to numerous kings of Israel and Judah. He says here in chapter 6, we'll begin reading in verse 1, He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, just as a reference point on the timeline, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And we're going to read here a few verses about the impact that what he saw. And I don't believe that it was a literal sight with his eyes. I believe it was a vision that he had. So I ask us today, what kind of vision do we have of the Lord? The scripture tells us that no man has seen the Lord with our natural eyes. Moses asked to be able to see the Lord, and God told him, you can't do that, but I'll let you catch a glimpse of my backside as I go past you. But I believe that down through time, there has been individuals that caught a vision of God, and it made a change in their life. And here we find Isaiah said, I saw also the Lord, verse 1, sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. I saw God, the one that created the heavens and the earth, the one that put order to whatever chaos was here, or chaos there was, that spoke not only this globe that we live on into order, but also the whole universe. And you know, they're constantly finding that our universe is bigger than they thought it was. I believe God's behind all of that. My vision, I'm just telling you my personal, this is a nuance in my own head, you might say. My personal vision is that God's behind all of that. And he's bigger than whatever kind of telescope and whatever means man has to try to encapsulate the creation that God has made. But he saw God, saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. His vision was that God was above all, and that he was able, his presence dictated something. It caused the whole host to cry one to another, holy, holy, holy. That's what he saw in his mind's eye in a vision. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. We like to build things that don't move when they're not supposed to. We like to build a structure that's stable. We don't like cracks in our drywall. We don't like cracks in the foundation. We want things to be stable, and we do that on purpose. And yet, no matter what kind of substantial structure man has ever made, that the voice of God is able to dictate to it to move. Then, that's what his vision was. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So the vision is that Isaiah saw the Lord, saw God in an elevated position, one to where all of those in his presence was calling, crying out, holy, holy, holy. And then he saw himself. And he saw himself as the mortal that he was. I see myself as incapable. And when I stand behind this desk and I'm thinking, Lord, what can I say to cause people to be motivated, to be moved, to be encouraged, to make a step a little bit closer to you? I feel like Isaiah when he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm a man that don't feel like I have much capability in being able to cause people to think, yeah, I want some more of that. You can fix a meal, and some things are just hard to not take seconds on. You ever notice that? And there's a few things that my wife fixes, and if she's got a big pot of it on the table, it's like, you know, I probably shouldn't, but just a half a scoop this time. Just a little bit more, and that goes down so well, you want to try again. And Jamie brought some potato soup to the house the other day, and it just kept going down so good, I wanted to have some more, and I ate more than I should. I finished up all the rolls and more potato soup than I've ate in a long time. But, what can I say? I'm just a man. At the best, I've got just lips of clay. What can I do to cause people to say, I want some more of the Lord? I want to draw closer to Him. I want to be more like Him. I want to be a Christian that has more than just nuances. I want to be something. I want to have the reality of God living in me, and I want to be an example of the believers. What can I do? I feel like this man here when he said, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. And the next verse said, then one flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. It's not something we can do in ourselves. This is something that happens by divine enablement. It's what happened when Jesus comes and takes that old, rotten, dead, old creature and turns it into something new. And He gives us a life worth living. He said there was a coal taken off of the altar. It's hot. I've worked with hot things many times, and you handle those things carefully. But in this vision that Isaiah saw, it was something that was hot. It was pure. It represented the power of this God that was lifted up, the Lord, God of creation. And that was able to touch these lips that was, he said, his lips were unclean. They were lips of clay. They weren't divine. My lips are lips of clay. They're just human. They're not, no matter how effective my brain is working and all of that, if God does not anoint what we say, it don't work. If the anointing is not there, God can't speak to hearts through human intellect. He said this coal touched his lips, and also heard the voice of the Lord. This is the one that was, he got the vision. He was high and lifted up, and all those in his presence was calling, saying, holy, holy, holy. And I heard the voice of the Lord, this is verse 8, saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. This is the new creature now speaking. It's not the old rotten creature. It's not the old thing. It's a new creature. It's something that God can make and produce in your life. And people look on and say, you Christians have a lot of little peculiar nuances to the way you live. No, it's more than that. It's more than a nuance. By the grace of God, we have a vision of God lifted up. That's my cause. That's my purpose. That's the why. That's the reason that I do what I do. It's more than just adhering to a rule book. It's more than all that other. I want to be in a place that I can be like Isaiah when he said, here am I, send me. When that coal had touched his lips. You know, we're surrounded with people that worship people. You realize that? or around people that surrounded by them that worship people. Sports figures, musicians, icons of fashion, stars of the screen. They're followed on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and in person. And if somebody that's a celebrity comes to your neighborhood, you better stay in the house. Because if you go out, you'll be trampled trying to get to where you can touch them or see them or hear their voice. It'd be better, it'd be a wiser decision to just not go out than to be there in person. If the idol gets a tattoo, guess what their followers do? They get one. They cut off half of their hair and shave one side of their head and let the other side grow long. Guess what their followers do? If they wear their clothes too tight, guess what they do? If they wear them so loose they can't keep them up, guess what they do? If they talk in a derogatory manner, guess what they do? Their followers do. Same thing. Nuances, right? Just a little peculiarity. Earthly idols make mistakes, don't they? They get sick. They have relationship problems. And they die. Every one of them has died. If time keeps going, they all will, just like I will. You know, because people look up to others and they begin to follow them and their nuances, they can begin to look at the God of heaven like that too and pull the God of heaven down to like somebody that's famous, somebody that people worship. I can remember those I went to school with being so excited about being able to go to a concert and see someone in person, although they might have been sitting so far away they had to have a big screen and a projector to be able to see them. In all actuality, they were just a little bitty person down on the stage, and they were one of thousands sitting in the stands. But they were there in person, and they were ecstatic. You know, when those people make shipwreck of their lives, and we realize all those little nuances they did, and we did because we thought we were one of their followers, we can start transposing that on God. People do, I believe. And it causes God to be discredited to the point that any change in lifestyle for a Christian is just a nuance. You understand what I'm saying? But I believe it's more than that. We must continue to see God as high and lifted up like Isaiah did. I'd like to turn to Acts now. This is in the New Testament. I'd like to go to Acts, the 4th chapter, and begin reading in the first verse. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. This is Peter and John they came upon, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. That'd be quite a revival, wouldn't it? And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to the name of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. He was saying, I see God high and lifted up. This is more than following a man named Jesus that came and had a few nuances and did some miracles among us. This is more than that. I have a vision of God being high and lifted up, and one that we should all call cry, holy, holy, holy. And they were saying, We're just men. We're fishermen. We're just simple men that God has come and took the coal off of the altar and anointed us to be able. It's by his name, by Jesus' name, by God's name and God's power. God is the one that enables you to be a new creature and not just an old dead cat that we found in the fan shroud with his teeth sticking out. We can be a new creature. There's not a person here. If you like cats, there's not a person here that'd like that cat. But I'm going to tell you, God is coming to change. He comes to change lives. He can turn things around. There's no idol in this world that can change things for better. People lift them up pretty high sometimes, but they're not on the same plane with God. Listen to this, folks. He said, neither is there salvation. This is verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other way we can become a new creature. You know, if you catch a vision of God being high and lifted up, you know you're going to have some nuances. You know, there's things that change in our lives when, as we cross thresholds of maturity. When we cross the threshold of being an adult, you know, there's things that we don't do any longer. When we cross the threshold of marriage, you know, there's things that we don't do any longer. There's conversations we don't have. It's a nuance. Is it? Or is it a safeguard? Is it a protection? Is it an adjustment of character? So I ask you this question this morning, a nuance. Is Christianity just a bag of nuances? Or is it a real change of character for you? I want to tell you, if you look at Christianity as a bag of nuances, it's just little small details, I'd like for you to lift your eyes up a little higher. I'd like for you to catch a vision of God being high and lifted up. Someone that can make real changes in real lives. Someone that can put a want to. Do you notice what happened to Isaiah when he had the vision? He said, when the question was presented, who's going to go speak to my people? He said, here am I, send me. What did David say when he came and saw the Goliath standing in opposition to the whole army? One man, I don't know. I don't want to go off on a tangent this morning, but what did David say? Is there not a cause? How did he say that? Was it because he was bigger than the giant? No, we know from the story he was a young lad. No match for him. But he had a vision of God, and it made a change in him. It was more than a nuance. It was more than just a small little detail. It was more than that. Christianity is more than that. It's more than just some little detail. Well, so-and-so doesn't do this because they're, oh, you know, they got religion. They're a Christian now. Oh, it's more than that. It's more than just some little insignificant thing. This is a life change experience. I want us, if you don't really have it this morning, I want to invite you to get it. A vision of the Lord, high and lifted up. Help us, Lord, to be in a place like Isaiah was and receive that coal on our lips. Might be lips of clay like me. Lord, I want to be willing to go and speak for you if I can at all. You pray for me.